so damn bad.
This is awesome. It's a dick. It's a nut. It's a dick. Hey, everybody. Have a great time.
I'm not one of these f***ing goof podcasters out there. Not a bad episode of AEW Dynamite. I think it was pretty good. Yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby. You know, Brody Lee being revealed as the Exalted One, it's kind of like you're planning for weeks, like this perfect night with your significant other. Now, I can't say girlfriend because, you know, some guys like girls, some guys like guys, some guys like girls, some guys, girls like girls, blah, 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 your significant other. Then you plan everything and you expect that night, you picture in your head how it turns out. And Brody Lee gets revealed to be the Exalted One, and it's kind of like that night with your significant other, and in that case, my fiance. Everything goes great. The night is perfect. You blow your load. You have great sex. She has an orgasm. And just when you think it's done, you get to come twice. And we got delete. Now, I have Matt Hardy attire to wear as well, but I've been wanting to wear this for a while. And yes, I wore it about a month or so ago. I didn't want to wait anymore. But man, look, two things right off the bat. First off, welcome everybody to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony, as always. I want to thank you very much for listening. And wrong technical. Like things are already starting to fuck up over here. All right. What's up, everyone? Don Tony here. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. And I tell you, you know, boy, do I have a lot to say. And tonight's show is going to be mostly about AEW. And I'm going to comment about NXT in a moment, but two things I want to let everybody know right off the bat. First off, this show will be much shorter than usual. And I know I say that a lot, but yeah, I mean, I want to focus tonight on AEW and NXT. NXT, unfortunately, is going to be a lot of criticism. This Friday, though, I'm going to be doing the return of the Don Tony Show. There's going to be a lot of Ask Me Anything involved, and we will talk about whatever transpires between today and Friday. So we have a show in 48 hours. Now, if anybody paid attention to my show on Monday, something that was very glaring to yours truly, not only from SmackDown, but from what we saw on Raw and what they were hyping up next week. Now, look, you know, I know I brag a lot when I do get things right. Oh, there was a second thing I needed to tell everybody. Please let me know for my live family tuning in right now. Let me know if there's any audio issue during the broadcast. Let me know right away because I figured out I have a bad cable here. And I have my speakers detached because I don't want to take any chance of any interference kicking in. I already ordered the cable. It's supposed to be delivered here from Amazon on Friday. I know there's a shortage on toilet paper and all this other stuff. There's no shortage on audio cables, but for some reason, Amazon has taken 3 days to ship. Look, with everything that's going on right now here and abroad with the coronavirus, I don't mind waiting a couple extra days. Hopefully, we don't have any audio issues tonight. I don't think that we will, but, you know, if we do, I pretty much know how to reset it like this, but this should be the last episode or anything with audio issues going forward. I don't even think we'll have any problems tonight, but let me get back to what I was saying before. On Monday, something that stuck out to me immediately, and look, I know I brag a lot when I get things right. I like doing solo shows because sometimes I make comments and points that get commingled with other hosts that I'm involved in. And it's not against them. It's just that we all have our own unique views on things. And one thing that stood out to me immediately from SmackDown, from this past Monday's Raw, is WWE is trying to do smoke and mirrors. As I watched NXT today, I thought about every wrestler, mostly WWE, some who used to be in WWE, but I saw how every wrestler was posting these passionate tweets on how WWE, they care about the fans and everybody's stepping up and we want you to keep your mind off your problems for, you know, a few moments and blah, 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 and God bless them and this, this, and that. And I'm saying to myself, this is going to be just like Christmas and New Year's. You're going to have recaps. You're going to have five people in attendance. I mean, look, look at all those passionate tweets, all these people. All they want to do is entertain you. How many people were live in NXT tonight? Seriously, think about that. And I have no problem if they want to do recap shows. I have no problem if they want to try to be ESPN 30 for 30 with that Gargano Ciampa stuff. I'll get into that in a minute. But at least tell the fans, at least let them know, give them an idea. You know, because tonight, in my opinion, the Ciampa-Gargano feud is great. At 20 minutes in, I felt like, okay, this is dragging on a little bit too much. There's one thing. When you have a feud, and I remember this back in the day when we had WrestleManias especially, they would have these pre-shows an hour before the pay-per-view started, and it would say, call your cable provider, buy WrestleMania, blah, 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 and you would have these extended video packages, and they would air about an hour, 30 minutes before the pay-per-view starts, and, you know, I'm watching this, and I'm like, there's a difference between really hyping up something special and then buying time, wasting time, milking time. And when it got 20 minutes in and I see this, and this go down on AEW, and I go back to NXT and it's the same fucking vignette with Gargano and Ciampa, you know? I mean, I'm surprised we didn't see their communions the first time they got laid, when they did this, when they lost their first tooth, when they got their first orgasm. I mean, my God, you know, just 20 minutes in, I said, okay, this is a little bit too much because I don't mind a good video package, but it gets old and it gets bad when you realize that WWE is just trying to eat up fucking time. 20 minutes turned into 30 minutes. 30 minutes turned into 40 minutes. And I'm like, this has got to be a joke. I mean, what are they gunning for? Seriously. You know, WrestleMania, even though they are trying to continue the show, where did Gargano and Ciampa fit into WrestleMania this year? Has there been any big thing going on? Is TakeOver still going down? Like, I know tonight is about NXT and not WrestleMania, but we got 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 46 minutes, 51 minutes, 54 minutes, 57 minutes. Think about that. This fucking thing went on to like 9:05 p.m. This is a great example of, yeah, WWE's a billion-dollar company. But NXT was always portrayed as the minor league system. WWE is so fucking petrified about coronavirus. Did you see the reports today that supposedly WWE may have banned anybody from saying that word? I don't remember if they said, if Triple H or Mouthfuck Tom said that word tonight. But they're so paranoid about a virus that they didn't create, that hasn't struck anyone, and it's such a dirty word. It's like, that coronavirus has them so fucking petrified that it has totally taken over their product for the last week. I mean, it's just terrible. And you could see the WrestleMania influence tonight. You could see the WrestleMania influence. Carmelo saying the world is in disarray. Yeah. What does that mean? Don't give this smoke and mirrors that, oh, we're going to keep your minds off of stuff. We're here to entertain you, blah, 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 blah. And you have five people in the building, seven people in the building. Tonight, maybe no people in the building. You know, just be fucking honest with your fans and say, look, you know, we're going to do some, we're going to recap, we're going to review, we're going to look back at this, we're going to reminisce, we're going to do the year in review, blah, 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 blah. They used to do that in the holiday times. This is smoke and mirrors, and this is a product that is so afraid to take a week off. Today's episode of NXT did not need to air. I mean, it was just god-awful. Now, as far as Dynamite goes, bravo, bravo. Even if Brody Lee didn't debut tonight, even if Matt Hardy didn't debut tonight, they nailed it. They knocked it out of the park. There are so many things that AEW got right tonight. First off, they put the rampway behind the hard camera. So you're the whole idea of continuing an empty arena is not to focus that it's an empty arena. You do what you can do to try to make people forget that it's in an empty arena. So we put the hard camera, so behind the wrestlers, you see the rampway. Oh, we get a couple of wrestlers. Loud, energetic. You think WWE would have maybe thought about that when they had Asuka on Monday. Asuka was helping fucking Andrade more than Zelina Vega was. You think about that on Monday. Asuka's like, Andrade! And Zelina Vega's just in there like... You get a couple of wrestlers, they're heckling, they're yelling. That's what people used to do in the indie circuit. You get a couple of people around ringside. You put close-ups on the wrestlers. You have the camera angled a little bit more, so you're looking upwards and you're not looking straight into empty chairs. You darken the lighting. There were points tonight during AEW Dynamite that I completely forgot that it was an empty arena. They nailed it. They did a phenomenal job tonight, and you could see what happens when you're not a billion-dollar publicly traded company. You could see what happens when the wrestlers truly want to entertain the fans. There are a lot of WWE wrestlers that want to entertain the fans right now. Unfortunately, WWE is not allowing them to. You see what they're doing with the rotation with WWE? I talked about it Monday. You're seeing a lot of wrestlers work one week, take off the next week. An announcer works here, takes off the next week. This person's here, take off the next week. Do video package, next week they're live. They're doing that because they're trying to keep everybody separate for at least a week, because if you're going to get hit with the coronavirus, you know, you got 7, 8, 9 days, you know, between appearances that if you do have something, you might have some telltale signs by then. You know, if WWE is so strapped and has so much fear with the coronavirus that they can't even mention it by name, you know, you should not be doing shows right now. Or at least have the balls, the kahunas, to tell the fans that we're going to do best ofs, we're going to look at the year in review, we're going to review this, we're going to look back at this and this and that. But you see... tonight with AEW, count how many people appeared live at AEW tonight. Count how many people appeared live on Monday Night Raw. Did it feel like a bunch of people just chose to stay home? And I'm not talking about fans, I'm talking about wrestlers. Did it feel like a company that was so petrified that, you know, we can't have all these people in the same building together because if one person gets sick, then the whole thing, WWE right now on the stock market is getting killed. It's like $30 a share. The financial world is starting to really pick up on this. What's going on with coronavirus does not help either, because WWE, a lot of people don't think about this, WWE can't travel to other areas of the world and vice versa. They have wrestlers who, you know, are forced to stay in the United States because if they're not residents and they go back to their home country, they might be stuck there. It's just the skeleton crew. If WWE was honest about it, I think we could digest it a little bit more. But you could see that WWE has totally made their crew smoke and mirrors and a skeleton crew. And it's just really, really hampering. Does it feel like WrestleMania? Seriously, they're doing it across two nights now. Remember I said Monday that they should pre-record a lot of things? They are going to pre-record some things. They're going to be recording stuff probably this week for WrestleMania. They're so, you know, insistent on putting this anyway that it's just ruining their product. I made a tweet half hour into NXT tonight. I know a lot of people didn't even get the tweet, didn't understand it. But I started watching this. I started getting a bad feeling inside that WWE is pulling almost what WCW did on March 8th, 1999. If I have the date wrong, forgive me. I'm not looking at my notes right now. I'm looking at all of you. But in 1999, the biggest feud in the WWF was Rock and Austin. McMahon was involved as well. And we were going into, I believe, WrestleMania 15, I think it was. And we're on the road to WrestleMania. WCW, who is now starting to get a little bit of a decline, and WWF is starting to get momentum, WCW, their first hour of Nitro, ran on a post between 8 and 9 o'clock on that date. I think it's March 8th, 1999. And I always channel surfed at the time. I always watched the first hour of Nitro. I would channel back and forth. And then sometimes I would watch Raw from 9 to 11 and then watch the replay of Nitro from, you know, 11 on. But the thing is that around this time in 1999, Nitro decided to try something new. They have four dark matches going on in the arena. And they decided to give us the first hour of Nitro with no wrestling. It was skits about David Flair turning on Ric Flair. It was NWO. It was Nitro Girls. It was this. It was that. And I remember doing a hotline at that time and people just totally shitting all over it. And at that time, it was a test. Nitro tried to be like a drama and it did not work well at all. There was a lot of curiosity factor involved, but it really was wrestle crap. It really sucked. And 20 minutes in tonight, I got that feeling from 1999, and I'm saying to myself, what are they going to fucking just do vignettes and fucking just this is what we're going to get tonight? And sure enough, like I said, how do I possibly give everybody an NXT review? What am I going to say? Oh, they brought up Balor versus Ciampa or Balor versus Gargano. They brought up this when they first came in and how they were told all their lives they'd never make it. And, you know, they're at the performance center and they're showing them here and they're showing them there. We all fucking saw this shit already. It was a beautiful package, but 65 minutes? I could see if the WrestleMania main event was Gargano versus Ciampa and it was happening this coming weekend or this was an hour before the pay-per-view and you had this high profile on that. This was just terrible. Terrible. AEW is going to annihilate NXT in the ratings this week. And you know what's so sad about it? Ciampa's great. Gargano is great. Balor is great. Rhea Ripley is great. But I don't know what, I mean, we do know, WWE, it's smoke and mirrors. Let's just get through these couple of weeks. Let's hope that everything improves. Let's just get through WrestleMania and we'll figure out this. This was horrible. Because again, as I'm watching this, and even Monday, count how many people were in the arena Monday, as far as the WWE wrestlers go. As I'm watching all this, I'm thinking of all those passionate tweets that everybody's there to keep everybody's mind off of it. But meanwhile, you got 10 people. And the funny thing in Florida is that, sure, they don't want social gatherings more than 50 or 10 or whatever it is. But businesses are exempted. So you could have as many people working there as you want. Of course, you want to keep it at a minimum to minimize the risk. But you could see that fear, that billion-dollar company's fear of having their roster of numerous members getting infected, it did terrible. Absolutely terrible. So now, let's talk about AEW tonight because it was a phenomenal show. I took tons of notes. And, you know, we had the show open up. And by the way, you know, I want to mention this too, because the guy does not get enough respect out there. Mikey Ruckus, who does a lot of the AEW music. He did an interview with AfterBuzz's Jack Farmer, and it's a great interview online. It was published, I think, today. And he talks about being a wrestling fan and doing the music for AEW. And it's not easy to just bang out themes. There's not too many Jim Johnstons in this world or Jimmy Harts. It's a really fun interview. Go out of your way. If you're an AEW fan, go out of your way and check it out. You know, it's very easy for goofs to be sitting at home and making fun of AEW music and this and that. You know, what are you creating? You know what I mean? Like, I can't make music. So anyway, AEW opens up. Cody Rhodes is in the ring, basically introducing us to tonight. And you could see almost 2-3 minutes in, all right, let's act like there's people in the arena. Let's talk about our feuds. You know, you had Kenny Omega come out. And, you know, the only thing I didn't like at the very beginning was that one camera focused on Kenny Omega, focused on Matt Jackson and Cody, because the camera was very, very shaky. You know, I know it was that raw feel to it. That went away very, very quickly. In the beginning, it was getting a little dizzy with it. But, you know, basically, they're cutting a promo about blood and guts and how important that is in the match tonight. They're selling the fact that Nick Jackson is out indefinitely. So throughout the night, we thought it was going to be 4-on-5 next week at Blood and Guts. Now, basically, you have Omega, Matt Jackson, and Cody in the ring. They call out Hangman Page. He comes out, you know, to the entranceway holding a drink. They're asking him, you know, we really need you. Are you on our team? And blah, 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 blah. And he walks off. You know, so they're selling that real, you know, friction between the elite. So then Hangman Page walks off. Kenny Omega, he looks at the camera and he says, hit the lights, hit the pyro, let's start Dynamite. And we have Dynamite start off. Taz, Excalibur, Jim Ross doing the play-by-play. They immediately show MJF at ringside. Sean Spears is at ringside. Later on, we find out that they're betting on the matches, which was hilarious. Sean Spears eating, I think, chicken and fried rice, probably Chinese restaurant, drinking a little bit of vino. Tully Blanchard at ringside. You know, sure, there were some names absent, but it did not feel like a skeleton crew. It felt like, you know, I saw some wise asses online saying, oh, you know, of course AEW had a great show. A lot of their wrestlers are used to performing in front of nobody. It's kind of like a cutesy thing to say, but there are a lot of wrestlers in WWE when you see their, you know, back in the day, and they performed in front of 20 people as well. But so we open up Dynamite, and again, it made you quickly forget that it was an empty arena. Everything I said before, the way they had the camera set up, they darkened the arena, you know, especially when you only need 10, 15 people yelling and screaming at ringside. Of course, it still sounds like an empty arena, but that noise distracts you from what's going on in the ring. When they went to commercial breaks, they didn't stop, have a Coke, smoke a cigarette, talk about, you know, hey, you know, say hello to his pops for me. And there's a, no, they fucking worked like a regular episode of Dynamite. We have the Lucha Brothers versus the Best Friends open up the show. Orange Cassidy, you know, we wondered last week. Now, before, this was before we found out it was going to be an empty arena, but we were talking last week how Lucha Brothers, you know, why isn't it a six-man? Why isn't Pac in there? You just plugged the Death Triangle. Now all of a sudden the triangle becomes a duo again. You know, like, but now we understand Pac is not going to be there. Fine. Orange Cassidy, he goes on commentary. I know a lot of us expected Orange Cassidy possibly to talk a little bit today, but basically, you know, he just lounged back and watched the match. Got involved a little bit physically. It was funny towards the end, and the match was fun. Lucha Brothers get the win. And at the very end, after the match is over, Tony Schiavone is trying to interview Best Friends. And Chuck Taylor, I don't know if anybody caught it, but Chuck Taylor actually said the D word. He said, oh, you want to kick, you know, my partner in the dick? And he challenges the Lucha Brothers next week for a street fight. just like what I said Monday. You got an empty arena. Not everything needs to be live. Pre-record this stuff. You don't have little trolls that work for websites and podcasts that are all in the arena that they're going to leak out spoilers. Everybody there wants to give a kick-ass show. They're going to keep their mouth silent. Did anybody know that Matt Hardy was appearing today? I know a lot of people thought that Brody Lee was going to be the exalted one, especially with the little hints. We talked about it, you know, with the buzzards. Quack! Remember all that? Kind of all made sense. But you can keep a secret in wrestling, especially when it's a smaller company. So, you know, they challenge the Lucha Brothers in a street fight next week. And in my opinion, you pre-fucking record that. Pre-record the whole show, as far as I care. Fans are going to tune in. That curiosity factor is going to get fans to tune in. The lack of wrestling going on in other companies right now is going to get fans to tune in. Just because they record half their show in advance is not going to have anybody say, I'm not going to tune in, it's not live. Also, give AEW credit. Yes, they do the split screen during commercial breaks. AEW caught on that shit with WWE like that. And what did they do? Oh, WWE is doing vignettes and recaps and just talk segments. So we'll fucking do a split screen and we'll just even show Sean Spears eating chicken. There was one point where the split screen was chicken eating food. And I'm like, wow, this is really smart on behalf of AEW. Yeah, Carmelo, even when JR said nothing drives like a Ford, meaning Penelope Ford. Well, you got to remember, too, the car that Moxley drove is a Ford GT. I know why they went that route, but we'll get to that in a second. Let me continue with my little recap, my notes that I have in front of me. So the next match we have Riho versus Chris Statlander versus Penelope Ford versus Hikaru Shida. Now, at the beginning, look, I don't tweet too much during live shows. I made a couple of comments tonight, but I usually don't tweet a lot of things. I try to save my comments for the shows for all of you out there. Plus, I don't tweet to get likes. You know, I may express an opinion about something here and there, but, you know, you want to look at it, fine. You don't. But I was joking around with a few people I was chatting with online, and I said, okay, in storyline, if I was MJF, you bet on Hikaru Shida tonight. Because fans were really starting to get vocal as far as the way that they were treating Hikaru Shida. Match wasn't bad. It was sloppy at times. You know, look, Rio, she dropped the title, and they pretty much have done nothing with her since other than dark match. It doesn't feel like that, you know, you're going to see much as far as rematches with Rio and Nyla Rose. It was not a bad match. Penelope Ford, she definitely needs more work. Now, working on for the feds is where she's going to get that work. She's not going to be the focus on a lot of things right now as far as AEW. Unless Kip Sabian is involved also. But when she did what they that reverse Huracanrana, almost like a Frankensteiner reverse, I think they call it the Poison Rana. When she first jumped up, I got a little nervous that wasn't going to land well, but it actually landed okay. And it was not a bad match. But in the end, you had Hikaru Shida winning the match, pinning Penelope Ford. I think it was the right way to go. After the match was over, we see Colt Cabana ringside. You know, a lot of people may not even know, not only is he wrestling, he's coaching, he's doing a few things for AEW. You know, the match was not one of the better women's matches out there, but look, it is what it is. I mean, we could be honest and say that the AEW women's division is not very, very strong right now. And that's a shame to say, because when you look at Shida and you look at some of the other wrestlers. Statlander, I think, you know, maybe a year from now, she really turns the corner. Yakuzawa, I've seen matches of her in Japan, and she really does too awesome. It also depends on who you face in the ring. Again, nothing against Penelope Ford, but I don't know if Penelope Ford is the ideal person to put in the ring with Rio and Statlander. I kind of feel like it might have been a much better match if you would have left Penelope Ford out of there. But, you know, obviously some people were not in attendance. I believe, and I talked about this Monday, I believe that WWE made it optional for wrestlers, their staff. Look, if you really feel nervous and don't want to come to Florida, you can stay home. Nobody's going to get hurt by it or, you know, de-pushed by it. But still, you know, it's you could see that what's going on with WWE is more than just wrestlers wanting to stay home. There is a major fear within WWE, and you could see it. No excuse to do what they did tonight, WWE. None whatsoever. Unless, again, if they were honest and told fans, you know, don't give this aura. And honestly, everybody, I blame it on the stock. When you are a stockholder, especially when you see what's going on with coronavirus, and you're a big investor in WWE, and you see them just stuck in quicksand, you know, any positive information, any positive vibes could be the what makes you decide to keep the stock or sell the stock. That could be a deciding factor. So when WWE on social media gives this impression that everybody wants to still work and it's business as usual and we want to get everybody's minds off of it. And Triple H's speech last week was beautiful, that everybody wants you to forget about your problems, and then 95% of your roster is not there. That is smoke and mirrors. That is just jerking off people's emotions. That's trying to give people this reassurance that we're so dedicated that we're willing to do this and do that. The fuck out of here. Be honest. Be honest. I don't see many WWE stars saying, look, I'm really, really scared right now. I really just want to play it safe and stay home. I think Paige might have been the main person who was honest and saying, look, I'm quarantining myself. I'm not sick, but I'm not going to take any chances, you know, and we all could relate with that. You know, they are human beings at the end of the day. Nobody would hate on any wrestler who turned around and said, look, this is a serious thing. I don't want to take any. You look at Roman Reigns, perfect example with the leukemia. You know, they're not testing Roman Reigns for coronavirus. They're not testing wrestlers for coronavirus. The test for coronavirus is still almost impossible to get unless you're an NBA player or you're a famous actor. I love that actor in the UK. Who out there knows that guy's name? Look, I feel bad for the guy that got sick. He's a UK actor. He did a video 2 days ago, and he's like, look, everybody, I tested positive for coronavirus. I had no symptoms. I did that, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as I heard that, every person that I know on social media that we're praying for you, we care about you. Oh, that's so terrible. I was like, my first reaction, the fuck you getting tested for if you had no warning signs? Was his name Idris Elba? Am I saying that right? Idris Elba. Yeah, that's his name. As soon as I saw that, I'm saying to myself, oh, he was supposed to be the James Bond? That guy had no symptoms and took the test. That's my reaction to it. People that need the test are the ones that should be taking the test. I don't give a shit if your significant other it tested positive for it. If you have no warning signs, you wait until you have a fever or something else. If the test was readily available for everybody, that's different. But you see people out there, people dying because they haven't even had access to the test yet, and you got this fucking guy who didn't even think about it. Seriously. You know, oh, I had no warning signs. James Bond, positive, coronavirus positive. You had no fucking warning signs and you got your access to a test. WWE right now is not testing anybody for coronavirus. What they are doing is they're taking people's temperatures. They're trying to see if there's anything elevated about their system. Then if they have some symptoms, then they get referred to a doctor, and then a doctor makes a determination if they should be tested for coronavirus or not. Just because you don't feel well doesn't mean you get tested for it. If you don't have fever, you don't have certain things, you don't have the warning signs, you ain't getting tested. But I could see somebody like Roman Reigns, you want to be extra careful about. So again, If WWE would have just been honest and straight out, I don't know how the stock market would have reacted to that. But I could tell you, you pissed off a lot of fans tonight with that garbage that you tried to put through today. Admit it. Skeleton crew, smoke and mirrors. I felt that on Friday. I said it on Monday's show. I ended up being right. And by the way, I was right about WrestleCon too. And I'm not saying it to be bragging. I'm very happy for WrestleCon. You know, unfortunately, when you spend $100,000 on hotels and you're trying to piggyback WrestleMania and make money off of that event, you always have to worry in the back of your event. What if, back of your head, what if something goes wrong with WrestleMania? My event might be fucked as well. So this whole idea of protest Hyatt, protest this hotel, protest Hilton, protest this, it's fucking business. And I said on Monday that WrestleCon could still get their money if DeSantis makes another government mandate that prevents people from going to hotels. What happened? Mandate issued, the hotels, and then everybody, oh, that's because Jericho said something. That's because Kevin Owens said something. That because this, nitwits don't understand. And I'm not talking about my friends and family tuning in right now. I'm talking about the internet and the wrestling community. What they don't understand is that not everybody that was in the Hilton is a wrestling fan. If they offer refunds to WrestleCon, they got to offer refunds to everybody. I've been talking about it for a few weeks now. April 4th, my nephew was supposed to get married. I found out today that the wedding is canceled. I rented a room for the Hyatt. And I paid for the room about 3 weeks ago. I called the Hyatt today and they said to me, they said, no, we're not giving refunds, but we'll give you 10,000 points. What am I going to do? Run the social media? Hey, look, everybody, protest Hyatt. Now, look, I'm not comparing me to WrestleCon, but that's business. The hotel didn't fuck anybody over. It's business. It's business. I mean, you had some conventions and some promotions out there that are canceled. And they're not refunding people's money. Oh, no, future date to be determined. It's because they spent your money already. You know? Oh, it's okay for them to spend it. It's okay for them not to give you a refund. It's business. That's the way business goes. You buy in advance. It's WrestleMania weekend. The rooms are in demand. You get a crazy-ass discount. You know, there is a risk. But anyway, they got their money back. Good for them. Seriously, good for them. So, getting back to AEW tonight, we had the women, they had their match. After the match is over, Shivani interviewing Colt Cabana, giving props to what he's seen so far, being a little bit weird about the empty arena. Then he talks about Penelope Ford, that she's pretty good, and maybe she should, you know, not have a boyfriend around ringside kind of affecting her. He hears it, Kip Sabian, he goes up to him. They exchange words. And it was funny because Kip Sabian tried to slap Cabana. Cabana followed right back, slapped him pretty good. And, you know, look, Cabana didn't curse, but it was like, get the fuck out of here. Slap. Get the fuck out of here. But I like the segment. So we'll probably have Cabana versus Sabian next week. So next, we had Moxley doing an interview from the parking lot. He was not allowed in the building, I guess, for health reasons. And again, for the few people that asked me, that's a 2020 Ford GT. Crazy-ass vehicle. Curious if Tony Khan owns that vehicle. That vehicle pops up. You know, I don't know whose vehicle that actually is, but it's a beautiful vehicle. I can never own a vehicle like that, even if it was given to me for free. I would be too petrified that somebody would just walk down the street to try to key it, because that's happened to friends of mine over the years. They get a beautiful car. Even when they park it like in their driveway or in the back of their house, some people just always seem to manage to key it up. So in a car like that, see how much a paint job costs for that. So anyway, after Moxley's promo, we get the Butcher and the Blade, no Bunny, versus Jurassic Express, Jungle Jack Perry. Why do some people get mad because I don't call him Jungle Boy? Oh, but they call Shawn Michaels the Heartbreak Kid. You still call... I call him what the fuck I want. I like Jungle Jack Perry. Jim Ross has called him that. You want me to call him a Jungle Boy? I'll call him Jungle Boy. Whatever. You know, there's a lot of other things you should be upset at. But anyway, you know, we have Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus the Butcher and the Blade. During the match, Jim Ross said that Jungle Boy reminds him of a young Kevin Von Erich. That's not a bad comparison. You know, it's not a bad comparison at all. He's great. He's still got a long way to go. Entertaining match. You know, Luchasaurus gets the pin. It was a fun match. I mean, you know, Butcher and the Blade, I'm kind of happy for them, even though they're losing more than they should. But, you know, I can honestly say, and I'm an older guy now, I can honestly say, if the Butcher and the Blade were around in WCW, they would be the equivalent of Hector Garza and Jerry Flynn coming out. Like, they would just get their ass handed to them every single week. So to see fans online showing a lot more love to the Butcher and the Blade, yeah, look, the names are kind of hokey, the Butcher, the Blade, you know. It's, you know, and I know people think AEW is a fetish for masks and stuff like that, but they are talented, and I'm glad that they're getting respect from fans online. They didn't win today, but it was still a fun match. By the way, you know, I'll hold it because something happened yesterday that I actually felt bad for Evil Pizza Uno. But I guess we could talk about it now because the next segment was this. Last night, you know, they started really hyping up that tonight was going to be revealed. Carmelo, I brought up the bunny. Go rewind this. But anyway, almost lost my train of thought. Last 24 hours, they're really starting to push online, you know, who is not the Exalted One. And you had Evil Pete Uno say Macaulay Culkin's not the Exalted One. I felt bad for Ryback because I'm a Ryback fan. Newfound respect for that guy. His YouTube videos are entertaining as fuck. And they wrote the Ryback is not the Exalted One. And you have fans, you know, trying to get TweetBang, trying to trigger a response from Ryback. I felt bad. But, you know, last night, and I'll be honest, this tweet kind of surprised me, especially coming from someone who is working for AEW. Like, I could see it coming from an indie promotion. But last night, we had Evil Pizza Uno write this. He writes, this is now, let's make this clear. This is what Evil Uno gets at 2 a.m. And he actually wrote, unsolicited dick pics, daddy DMs, people asking him who the Exalted One was, and Marco stunt haters. Those are the ones that bug him at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not going to mention the reject website, but it is one of those websites that, and I'm just going to say it, when my co-host on Monday brings up, hey, did you hear about this? And I know right away it's from one of these goof websites, and I start cringing, and I get odd, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about this on the show. It's bullshit. You know, this is why sources are absolutely necessary. You can't just read things off a website, talk about them, and hey, I'm a host, you know? I try to stay away from these websites as much as possible. A lot of them are clickbait. I guess all their sources have coronavirus right now because nobody seems to have any information about anything going on. But, you know, I'll mention a few people are bringing it. Ringside News. Seriously, I'd rather start eating these than ever give them any credence. Garbage. What do? They take that tweet that you're looking at right now and they report it as news that Evil Uno asked for dick pics at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, again, this is why I say this, whether it's websites or whether it's podcasters. If you can't put your name, if you can't put a current picture of yourself, and you have to hide under logos, website names, pictures that are 20 years old or your baby pictures, you deserve zero respect from me or anybody else out there listening. Because what happens? You get some schmuck from that website that writes that as news that Evil Uno asked for dick pics. And then, you know, he gets upset. It's bullshit news. And who do you address? You address a fucking website name. You don't have faces. You know, people that hide behind website names, podcast names, can't show a current picture of what they look like, you know, those people deserve zero play, zero respect. And you know why they do get play and respect? Because there's a lot of other goofs online that do the very same thing. That website is garbage. They have been shitted on by a lot of people in the business. I honestly think that they jerk off, especially if they're heterosexual and you get a female in wrestling that addresses them. I think that person jerks off. Seriously, I think they get so turned on by getting tweet fucked. It's garbage. That's not necessary. I felt bad for him, but I will also say, I don't think writing that you are getting requests for dick pics is something I would have said, in my opinion. But anyway, so we wonder who the Exalted One is going to be. Now, AEW, Victor Rodriguez, seriously, I know you're a supporter, man, but I just talked about that shit for about 90 seconds. Don't fucking give me this stuff, oh, he spends the whole show talking about other things as tonight. Yeah, because that was a pretty fucking big story with Evil Pizza Uno. So I talk about what I want, all right? Nobody keeps my mouth shut. I say what I want to say. I don't care who it triggers. Wait till Friday. And I start talking about a few things that I want to get off my chest. Ooh, you'll definitely love. You like dirt? You like digging up? Tune in Friday. We'll have fun, I promise you. We'll have fun. Anyway, AEW made one mistake tonight. One glaring mistake. I don't know if anybody out there caught it. They did make one glaring mistake. You had Evil Uno and Stu Grayson hit the ring. And they're talking about the Exalted One is near, and blah, 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 da, 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 boo, 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 blah, 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 da, 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 da. And Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels hit the ring. They're having a confrontation. Christopher Daniels, it was funny at one point, I think he was trying to acknowledge the crowd, but I forgot you had wrestlers sitting at ringside. So it was cool. I liked it. So you have Christopher Daniels talking about how there is no Exalted One, and this, this, and that, and blah, 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 da, 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 da. Then all of a sudden, we see something on the AEW Titantron. One mistake AEW did tonight. Not a big deal. I'm happy he's debuted. Now, remember what I said about a month or so ago, that by June, I think you would have two very big names in AEW. I said I wouldn't say that they were absolute main eventers, but pretty big names. I don't know if I would put Brody Lee on that level yet, but I think Matt Hardy deserves to be on that level. But anyway, people are wondering right now, what was the mistake? Okay. We look at the screen and the voice is like jumbled. You know, they're using a synthesizer, you know, to alter the speech. Now, my immediate reaction was old school. Sarah, the Stalker, Undertaker. I don't know if a lot of you remember this, but it was fun back then. When we found that somebody was stalking Undertaker's wife, Sarah, and they had the voice scrambled. What a lot of us did back then was we recorded the voice and we ran it through a program and we manipulated the speed of the voice. And it turned out that that voice was Vince McMahon. And it was funny because, you know, now you gotta remember, this is what, 2001, around there? So at that time, you know, the internet's not what it is now. So 2001, we're all writing, oh my God, it's Vince McMahon is the voice. He's the stalker and this and that. Oh, it turned out to be Diamond Dallas Page, obviously. But it was cool, you know, just having fun and de-scrambling the voice. So when I had heard the voice today, you know, I started thinking, my first reaction was, they better reveal who it is. If they're just going to have a scrambled voice tonight, that's going to suck. But then I thought, okay, we got to run that through a program and find out who was the voice of the Exalted One tonight. So little by little, as he's talking, the voice is getting clearer and clearer. And I could swear when they showed the Exalted One walking sideways, I could have swore I saw the beard. I don't know if any of you saw that, but I could have swore I saw the beard. You look at the physical setup of that person in the robe, tall guy, looked pretty built, skinnier. Now it looked like Brody Lee. I mean, you think about it. A lot of people forget when he was with Harper with those big, you know, whatever those mallets were. You know, he was wearing like a robe too. So anyway, here's where AEW made the mistake. That segment was pre-recorded. Now, suspension of disbelief. How would Evil Uno know that Daniels was going to confront him and call him a liar? How did Brody Lee know that Christopher Daniels was going to hit the ring and call them a liar? If you go back and you watch Brody Lee's vignette, again, he starts mocking Christopher Daniels, calling him an old man and this and that. That was pre-recorded. So how did he know that Daniels was going to be in the ring? All right. Now, look, I know if you really want to stretch it, you could say, okay, well, Daniels was supposed to face Evil Uno, and maybe that's why, blah, 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 blah. But Brody Lee was making direct retorts of what Daniels said that was pre-recorded. It's the only thing, it's not splitting hairs, you know, it's just a little thing. Look, I noticed it. I'm probably not the only one out there. You know, you can't, you know, start reacting to what people say in the ring if it's a pre-recorded segment. That's the only, that look, I'm not making a big deal about it. I come up here and I try to, you know, give you a little outside the box. You know, I don't want to be up here. The next segment we had tonight was Stu Grayson in the ring with the Aurora. I just, you know, I'm very observant. And if I notice that, I'd like to tell you, you know. So anyway, it's revealed that it's Brody Lee. He comes out, and they're doing the beatdown to Daniels and Kazarian, and immediately the internet is buzzing. And I was joking because I had this shirt ready to wear tonight. I was teasing it earlier in the night. You know, I was hoping that, you know, he would be revealed. Even when Evil Uno wrote tonight that the Exalted One is near, and I, if you go on his Twitter, I wrote, you know what that means. And the reason why I wrote that is because that's what Brody Lee, Luke Harper, writes every single day. It's Monday. You know what that means. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. So he gets revealed to be the Exalted One. Now, look, there is a lot of questions that still need to be answered. Let's see where it goes. You know, right now we're under special circumstances. So, you know, you're going to see them take that a little bit slower right now, especially because they're in an empty arena. And look, that could change also. More mandates could be issued, and that could prevent certain things going forward. So I think they take it slow for the next couple of weeks. But everybody seems to be happy. Brody Lee is finally back on television. I think the reveal was not disappointing at all. But yet, if you thought that that was great tonight, and the funny thing is, think about this right now. We're now about, what, an hour and a half in? Not even, because the main event tonight started at 9:30. So the Exalted One was revealed somewhere around, what, 9:15, I guess you could say. Did we have a match before that? No. Well, actually, we did. We had, it really wasn't a match. I know what it was, but this was around 9:15. Now think about this, and this is probably the most amazing thing I could say tonight out of everything. Everything I just talked about with AEW leading up to this point. Now think about the fact that right now in NXT, they either just finished the whole Gargano Ciampa segment, or they were about to finish it. That's how late that went. The Gargano Ciampa segment went till about 9:10. So we're around 9:15, and everything that I said happened already. Now you tell me, seriously, with the, you know, no disrespect intended for Gargano or Ciampa or anybody on NXT whatsoever, but if you're a fan, and even if you're a diehard one way or the other, you see everything that was presented to you in the first 75, 80 minutes of wrestling for AEW, and then you look at what NXT gave. What are you probably going to be watching? So, anyway, next we get Lance Archer. And once again, you could see the AEW roster. When you have WWE saying all the wrestlers want to perform. They want to get your mind off of these problems. We want to be your emotional band-aid. We want to heal. We want to do this. Then you hear AEW saying the very same thing. Now you got 7 days, you know, 5 days of WWE. You got AEW tonight. Which one do you feel that actually was looking to do that? Or does it feel like WWE is putting smoke and mirrors in front of you? But AEW, you see how many people showed up tonight, how many appeared, how many that AEW allowed in the building. Jake the Snake Roberts was there. They didn't need to have him and Lance Archer there. They showed that vignette, and that vignette was great. It looked like a backyard, you know, in the woods. Kind of gave me the Dark Order feel, which I kind of was with, but I quickly forgot about it. And basically, it's just like a group of people around this ring in somebody's yard near the woods. You have like, you know, look like a Hornswoggle ripoff, basically, in the ring, a midget. And Lance Archer is just destroying people. And they do from the top down, and it sees everybody dies, is in the, written in the ring, and he's just basically destroying jobbers, one after the other after the other. And Jake Roberts is cutting a promo early that Cody doesn't need to be personal, but it is personal, and great segment. I still am holding out hope that there's more than one person in Jake Roberts' camp, but I was fine with it. And, you know, look, him destroying people, the reason why I liked it is because what would you rather have? 3 or 4 straight weeks of him on AEW Dynamite just destroying someone in 60 seconds or 75 seconds? I mean, you think about that formula on WWE television. Eric Rowan is a perfect example of it. Eric Rowan, for weeks and months, with destroying these 150-pound nobodies, you know, with the stupid cage and all that other shit. And really, did it make Eric Rowan seem more of like an unstoppable force? I mean, yeah, look, we know what happened with that storyline. The point is that by having Lance Archer do that tonight, he beat the fuck out of a ton of people all at the same time. And Jake Roberts sitting in the chair, it's like, humid and cold, and you see his breath. It was done, man. It was done right. It was raw, and it was good, and it was to put Cody on notice. Now, it was meant to be carny. I agree, John. It was meant to be carny. It was old school. There was a lot of old school tonight. And that leads to the main event. Main event tonight, well, actually, before I even get into that, next week, we have Wardlow versus Luchasaurus in a lumberjack match. You have all those lumberjacks at ringside, noise. It's going to make you forget that it's an empty arena. This is what AEW got right tonight. This is my opinion. This is what they did not do on SmackDown, and this is what they did not do on Raw. You can't even count NXT tonight because they just decided to try to pull a fast one on everyone and, you know, not tell everybody in advance that they were going to just look back and look back and look back and review. But Cody, Young Bucks, AEW, you could see by tonight and by next week that they took a step back and said, what types of matches, what can we do that is the loudest, that makes the, oh, we'll put some wrestlers around the ringside area that are yelling and cackling and screaming. Oh, we'll do a lumberjack match. Oh, we'll do a street fight because a street fight, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, they're doing things that make extra noise, that get your mind off the fact that it's an empty arena. That's another mistake WWE did. We know that everybody's in empty arenas right now, AEW and WWE. WWE, for some reason, had to keep showing you the entire night that it was an empty arena. They had all the camera shots. You look back and you see Austin, you see Mysterio, you see other things, Undertaker. The way the cameras were, all you saw were tons of empty chairs in the background. AEW did their best today to not show those empty chairs. I mean, and I mean this seriously, there are some indie feds out there that are not as loud as what you got tonight on AEW. So they were very smart today to look and say, oh, let's do this. It gives the aura of a lot of people. Let's do this. It was very, very smart. But next week, what we have is Wardlow versus Luchasaurus in a lumberjack match, the Lucha Brothers versus Best Friends in a parking lot brawl, and the Inner Circle versus the Elite, and it's going to be blood and guts. Now, originally, again, we thought throughout the night it was going to be 5-on-4 because of the injury for Nick Jackson. And Jericho was on commentary. Guevara did not wrestle, so that makes it Hager, Santana and Ortiz versus Cody, Matt Jackson, and Hangman Page. And the winner of the match gets the upper hand as far as, you know, the match. Now, how it works is the first two men are in the ring. They go for 5 minutes. Then at the second wrestler comes in the ring and somebody has a 2-on-1 advantage for at least 2 minutes. So tonight's outcome was going to determine who was going to have that 2-on-1 advantage for the first. Well, you really can't count the first 5 minutes because it's 1-on-1, but for those 2 minutes after. And it was the Inner Circle getting the win tonight. Now, the whole match was circled around dissension, Elite not being on the same page. Now, the fact that we thought it was going to be 5-on-4 for Blood and Guts, the fact that with the 5-on-4 advantage, the Inner Circle on top of it has the upper hand for at least 2 minutes. You start thinking to yourself, ah, shit, you know, especially, you know, like they call Cody Caesar and all that other stuff, that maybe they're going to survive this and be the winners. And you kind of start getting that. And I could see social media, like, you know, nobody was really angry or upset about it, but some people were like, oh, the odds are so stacked against the Elite that the Elite's got to come out on top on this one. Especially the fact that Cody lost to MJF, Cody lost to, well, twice to MJF, you think. Well, one time he lost his title opportunity in the future. MJF caused him to lose against Jericho, but he lost against MJF at Revolution. Cody's got to get a win somewhere. So anyway, after the match is over, I look at the clock, and it's 9:55. And I'm saying to myself, okay, is Nick Jackson going to hit the ring, or are we going to get some type of a surprise? Because there was 5 minutes left. It wasn't that the match ended early. That started at 9:30. It ended at 9:55. And believe me when I tell you, those last 5 minutes of any wrestling show that you see are very, very important. Things usually don't end 5 minutes too early, very often. So when the match ended and Jericho's cutting his promo and he's taunting the ref, he's taunting the Elite, you know, a lot of people started wondering, you know, what was going to happen next. I think a lot of people thought that Nick Jackson was going to show up anyway, or maybe something happens with Hangman Page, or maybe the Elite put the Inner Circle through a table tonight somehow. But we didn't get that. As Jericho is cutting his promo, fucking Vanguard 1 flies through the building. And it was amazing, seriously, and I'm going to say it. It was amazing how many fans online, after the Broken Hardys in Impact Wrestling, after the couple of years that Matt Hardy was in WWE, that there were fans, and a lot of them, go back, you think I'm kidding? Just type in AEW Dynamite, and at the very end, there were so many fans that had no idea what that was. It blew me away. But Vanguard 1 comes in. Now, look, it wasn't going to be anything else but Matt Hardy. As soon as you saw Vanguard 1, you knew, okay, he's there. Now, look, I teased it last week, you know, in case people didn't see it. You know, that is yours truly. Hanging out for a few minutes with Matt Hardy at the big event 10 days ago. And a lot of you asked me out there, hey, you know, is he going to AEW, this and that? And I was dead serious, everybody. Feinstein saw it. Friends saw it. First, I got to see him twice at the big event. First time I came up to him was so he, you know, a friend of the show, she could get a picture with him. But when I went up to him and shook his hand, I told him, I said, listen, I'm not going to be one of these goofs that is going to try to ask you 1,000 questions. Are you going to AEW? Are you going to AEW? I said, I'm a wrestling fan first and foremost. I said, I want to be surprised. I said, whatever you do, I thank you for all the years. Very happy for you and your family. Everything's going well. And best wishes wherever you end up. That's what I said. And then I got to see him again later on. But it was awesome. It was awesome. They showed Matt Hardy in the rafters. And he's doing his whole broken Matt thing. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because if anybody is old school, you probably were thinking what I was thinking. Basically, Nick Jackson can't compete because he's injured. Jericho was funny on commentary early on. You know, he was just cracking jokes and, you know, talking about Hangman Page and drinking. He's like, you know, we don't drink, you know, and even though they've had the bubbly so many times, Jericho was really funny on commentary. But after the match was over, you know, Jericho's bragging about how it's 5-on-4. And Cody is talking about, you know, what's going on. I think it was, no, you know what? It was Matt Jackson that said it, that, you know, because it was a 5-on-4 advantage, that he made a phone call to a friend. Now, keep in mind, as he's saying this, Vanguard 1 is visible and on top of them. And sure enough, Matt Hardy's in the rafters. Jericho said something, and it was funny because I wasn't paying complete attention because I was setting up and I'm watching in the corner of my eye. I could have sworn Jericho said, like, who the hell is that? I don't know if he did, but it kind of looked that way, and I thought it was funny. But Jericho, you know, his eyes looked a little bit bloodshot. And I don't think that's from drinking. I think they're just very, very tired with all the work that they've been putting in, and I'm dead serious about that. But the best way I could put it is Matt Hardy's in the rafters. Kind of made you give that little sting kind of feel to it. And he is the fifth man in the match next week for Blood and Guts. So it's going to be Matt Jackson, Matt Hardy, two Matts. Matt Jackson, Matt Hardy, Cody, Hangman Page, and Kenny Omega versus the Inner Circle, Blood and Guts. Now, I don't know if anybody out there was thinking old school like yours truly, but my immediate old school reaction is that when someone usually makes a phone call and brings somebody back to be like a fifth man or a third man or a partner, most of the times they turn. I don't know if he turns on the Inner Circle, on the Elite. I don't know. I try to look one step ahead. Cody seems to have his hands full soon with Lance Archer. Maybe Lance Archer interferes next week. Jericho has unfinished business with Moxley. That's got to linger. I think maybe Nick Jackson selling that injury is a reason to have Matt versus Matt the week after. Because right now, who is Matt Hardy going to team up with? So I think we'll wait and see. You know, look, for all we know, Matt Hardy doesn't turn, you know? But it was awesome, man. I tell you, anybody that listens to me on a regular basis knows that I have given AEW a criticism where they deserve it. I'm not an AEW fanboy. I'm not a WWE fanboy. I call it right down the middle. And I appreciate everybody that notices that. I don't tweet bang. I don't write one-liners just so I could get 50 likes and make me feel popular. You know, I'm a grown-ass adult. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm way beyond that. But I'm honest in what I say. And very, very few weeks do I really, really put over AEW and criticize WWE. But this is one of those weeks. And I agree, Ken. Matt Hardy is a heel. A hell of a lot better. Right now, they don't have fans. They don't have the crowd going, delete, delete, delete. So if they want to get the ball rolling with Matt Hardy as a heel, you have a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to really instill that. The problem is the cat's out of the bag. Matt Hardy has turned his life around for several years now, his whole family. Matt Hardy loves professional wrestling. Matt Hardy cares about his fans. Matt Hardy is one of the coolest people out there, you know, and you don't have to hear it from me. I think all of you out there that interact with on social media know that already. It's going to be really, really difficult to get him over as a massive heel. Maybe you tease a little dissension, but I wouldn't mind seeing Matt Hardy maybe feud with Jericho. I don't know if Matt Hardy versus Moxley is something, even though, you know, it's not a bad idea on paper. I think right now, you know, with Hangman Page, people are just waiting for him to turn heel. Having Page turn and Matt Hardy turn, that might be a bit much. I think you have one or the other. And I think people still feel that Hangman Page ultimately will turn. Maybe they end up doing the ultimate swerve that Page was a player the whole time, a team player. Yes, he's got, you know, his issues with the Elite. But it look, when you are never 100% sure about something and you're interested to talk about it nonetheless, that's when you know something is right in wrestling. Could be any storyline, any person involved. But when it leaves you asking questions and you're really into it, it doesn't even need to be main eventers. That's the problem that I see a lot of people fall into online. Unless somebody is an absolute main event superstar, like they'll tweet fuck and they'll write, oh, no big deal. Oh, look how this person was used here. Now all of a sudden you think this person is a, you know, you don't even pay any mind to those people. Enjoy what you watched and see where it goes. But again, I'll leave everybody with this because I think we're going to call it right now. I mean, look, it's no secret. NWA canceled the Crockett Cup. They issued refunds. Everybody got that back. Did no questions asked. Did not fuck around with anybody. They did the right thing. Impact Wrestling, apparently they're paying their wrestlers. No, you know what? I just realized. Earlier in the night, on Twitter, I said that we were going to give away a couple of shirts tonight because I know there's a lot of wrestlers who are out of work, and I've made my point to say this too. There are a lot of people out of work, not just wrestlers. And I find it funny when you have these people online saying, oh, support your local wrestler, buy their shirts, this and that, and meanwhile, they buy nothing. You know, it sounds good. They get tweet fucked. Oh, you care about everybody, but you don't fucking spend the money yourself. They want to spend everybody else's money. So I feel that everybody out there, teachers, waiters, waitresses, gardeners, you know, office people, you know, a lot of people are out of work. They need help as well. You see any of these people stepping up for those people? No. But since this is a wrestling show, and since I've always tried to give back wherever I can, you know, there's some people that are very, very jealous of any success that we all have over here or anything that we give away. So I think tonight we do that as far as wrestlers go. So I wanted to give away a couple of shirts tonight, but I wanted to do this different. I'm not going to force anybody not to choose WWE, but because it's a wrestling show and because there are many wrestlers who unfortunately really need to depend on doing any indie dates and they're now currently strapped with nothing, I wanted to give away a couple of shirts. And it's just random people. I'll pick people. What I want those tuning in live right now is name me someone who you like that you would love to have a shirt from. Somebody on the indie circuit. It could be NWA. It could be AEW. It could be NXT if you want that. But just keep in mind, especially the wrestlers in a pro wrestling tee store, the ones in a pro wrestling tee store, they get a much bigger cut of t-shirt revenue than someone who is in WWE. I'm not saying it, you know, to slight anybody in WWE, but that's just the fact. So I will pick some people at random, like Shezzy Ali. Enzo, he wants an Enzo shirt. All right, so Shezzy, I know you have my contact information. Get in touch with me. I will send you an Enzo shirt. We want to pick some people out on the indie circuit that currently aren't working or may not have any paydays going on right now. Tony Gloss, send me a PM on Twitter. Wait, Bob Dole is a politician. He's not a wrestler. No, we can't choose him. Let's see, because I'm picking people at random. You know, the people that are not working right now that lost paydays. So, you know, I see a ton of people with Brody Lee. We could do Brody Lee next week. Brody Lee, Matt Hardy. And by the way, Matt Hardy, it's either going to be next week or let's see if I can put a bigger picture up here. We're going to give away a couple of these autographed photos of Matt Hardy. In the next week or two, I'm waiting on Shaheen to send them over. We're going to give them away on Wednesday Night Dynamite. So everybody out there that's very happy to see Matt Hardy in AEW will be giving away some autographed photos. Let's see. I'm checking. Sean, Robo and Skyros, R&D. Yes, Sean, you could PM me on Twitter, and I will definitely hook you up there. Let's see. Yeah, Beaver Cleavage, Thunder Rosa. Yes, PM me on Twitter and let me know what size and your shipping address. You get a shirt as well. Let's see. You know what? Brian Long, yeah, because Austin Aries really isn't doing too much right now. Definitely PM me. Let me know what Austin Aries shirt you'd like. I'll get one out to you this week as well. I might end up going over 5. Jonathan Flores, Zicky Dice. Absolutely, man. Definitely PM me. And Zicky Dice, you'll definitely get a shirt from his. He's got pretty cool shirts as well, Zicky Dice. I got to get myself a Zicky Dice. Anthony Benelli, does Danny DeMonto really have a shirt? Danny DeMonto, man, he used to say some horrible shit about me, but he's a pretty good guy. Very, very genuine guy. Really, really love wrestling. I actually did a few things with him. I haven't seen him in a while, but I know he's doing really, really well. So if Danny DeMonto has a shirt, PM me on Twitter, and I will definitely get one out to you. So let's do like 3 more, because I think we've done like 5 or 6 already, because I got to buy these. But, you know, look, I'm going to put it as a tax write-off. I just want to give back a little bit. You know, I got some contributions from some friends out there that wanted me to, you know, do it for some fans out there and for some wrestlers. Like I said, I have some artwork. I would go behind me and show you some of the artwork we're going to give away. The problem is I only have shorts on right now. But you know what? I did this on Patreon. I'm going to show you something right now. Do I have it handy? Hey, look, this is video. Whatever. Let me see if I can pull something really quick. Oh, yes. Okay. Let me see. Okay. I think we'll probably give this out next week. This is original art print, by the way. That's Orange Cassidy. Let me see if I can find another. This is really cool. Tell me you wouldn't mind wanting to get this autographed by all members of the Inner Circle. So I think we'll give that out next week. I have to get envelopes first because I don't have anything to ship it in yet. By the way, Lewis, I'm not going to talk about it here, but all I'm going to say is expect some Teddy Hart news within the next 24 hours. I wrote something 2 weeks ago. Everybody decided to ignore it. No big deal. I told you, I always get some firsthand information. All I'm going to say right now is expect some Teddy Hart news in the next 24 hours. That's all I'm going to say. Let's see. So, you know, we'll give those out next week. And I'm not ignoring you, Dells. There's just a lot of people responding over here. So, you know, look, I am a supporter of my president. But I'm not 100% happy with him. I have a lot, you know what it is? I have left politics off these shows. I talk about it on Patreon more than anything else. And I have talked about some things I'm not happy with either. But I really can't find too much to fault right now. Coronavirus is something we've never experienced before. I have no problem with him calling it the China flu. China! But, you know, I'm not 100% happy with him. I want to make that clear. Killer Cross, you know what? Yeah, why not? Trademark. Killer Cross for you. Johnny Z, Killer Cross for you. I have Killer Cross shirts, by the way. You know, like I said, I don't need coronavirus to show my support for wrestlers. I bought these shirts not so people could be like, oh, what a cool shirt, or have the wrestler give me a like because I wore this stuff. No, I bought it to support them. I have Killer Cross. I have a lot of wrestler shirts that I bought to show my support for them. I just wanted to save Killer Cross until he actually debuts on NXT. So I'm looking forward to his debut. It'll happen soon. Let's see where it goes. Let's give one more shirt out. Let's see. Larry Rovers, Davey Boy Smith. Yeah, he does have shirts, right? So, yeah, you know what? PM me, Davey Boy Smith shirt on way to you. Yeah, you know what? Sean Kentner, you know. All right, Nick Aldis shirt for you as well. And that's it for tonight. That's it for tonight. We'll do more next week. We'll give away some Matt Hardy autographs maybe next week. It's my way of giving back to all of you for support. Maybe we'll do a little different setup. I actually want to do something called Stump DT or Stump Don Tony. You know, I've always bragged about my knowledge of ECW because of history, and once in a while I get people send me private messages to try to challenge me on ECW history to try to get me stumped on something. So maybe we'll do that. You know, the problem is I don't know how many of you out there know the ECW history, the original. And look, we could choose other things as well. Maybe we choose WWE or WCW too. I would never do a Stump Don Tony with TNA Wrestling because I would suck with it. By the way, TNA this week was not a bad show. Impact Wrestling, I'm just forced to have it. Impact Wrestling was not a bad show this week. They finally, on television, pulled the trigger with Joey Ryan and the cancer culture storyline. Look, we got those photos about 2 months ago. You do the pay-per-views. Meanwhile, that's already in the books. You know, when things are pre-recorded that long, and especially when you have social media the way it is, it's very hard to get that momentum now. That now you see him doing a cancer culture thing. Meanwhile, it was introduced at an Impact Wrestling event like 6 weeks ago. You got to utilize social media a little bit better, Impact Wrestling. I mean, I understand they record stuff so early in advance. My opinion, if you're going to record stuff that early in advance, do not have total character changes and then have it get reported online, and then for 5-6 weeks, we don't see that, but then we see that. If you're going to do something like that, do it live on a pay-per-view. This way, it's current news. You're not flipping back and forth. Oh, is he this? Is he that? Is he this? Is he that? I want to see where that character goes. I know a lot of people are not happy with the cancel culture storyline. I think it could be phenomenal. The only mistake Rob Van Dam did an Impact this week was this. If you go watch the match, if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. It's a fun match. Basically, they're doing a cancer culture where RVD feels the fans don't deserve this. And it's funny because there was a guy at ringside, I think there was Stone, and he's like, you know, who like is under the influence? Like, who does that at an event? It was pretty funny because RVD's kind of making a joke, joking about himself or being a hypocrite. But here's the thing. I'm going to use the ECW reference to close this out. If you want to see a fun match, no big deal. But if you want to see a really fun match, it's not bad on the WWE Network. They really didn't fuck it up. You know, granted, Mick Foley and Sabu's music's not the original music, but you could still watch it and enjoy it. There was a match in ECW between Cactus Jack and Sabu. This was, I would say, 1995, maybe September or October. And basically, Mick Foley was so upset with the fans that he was not going to wrestle hardcore. He was taking on Sabu. And I think Pee Wee Moore, brought out referee Pee Wee Moore to referee the match. and he wanted to fight Sabu in an Olympic rules match, something. So Joe Gertner gets on the microphone and he starts commentating and announcing it like it's going to be Olympic rules. And Mick Foley is doing headlocks, takedowns. He's purposely yawning in the ring. And the fans were getting so aggravated and so uptight, they started doing the wave. It's one of my favorite ECW matches of all time that you probably have never seen. They start doing the wave. They're getting bored. And Cactus is chain wrestling. Sabu is acting like, the fuck is this guy doing? I think at one point, Cactus had a headlock in Sabu. And Sabu's got his arms in the air like, why is this guy doing this? Anyway, it ends up getting hardcore later on. The point is that if RVD is going to be part of this cancer culture, he should take a page from that match between Cactus and Sabu. RVD should not be doing the five-star splash. RVD should tease a lot of his signature moves, but then stop short, look at the crowd, and do something very boring. Cancel culture. Do not give the fans any of your signature moves. Please, all of you out there tuning in, do me a favor. Go out of your way. If you have the WWE Network, you can find it there. If you don't, do a Google search for it. I'm sure maybe YouTube may not have it, but what is that other video service out there? Video something, whatever. You will find that match. Just search Sabu Cactus Jack Olympic Rules and just pay attention to the audience, pay attention to what Cactus is doing. That is what RVD should be doing right now. I'm telling you, it would get over 10 times more. So with that, I am out of here, everyone. Did about an hour and 15 minutes, more manageable. Yes, tonight was pretty much NXT, AEW. It was mostly AEW. But, man, WWE, you know, not good. Especially when you're a billion-dollar company, you know, and trying to get away with that. My prediction in the ratings, I've been almost spot on. I just can't see how AEW does not destroy NXT in the ratings this week. Again, nothing against Gargano, nothing against Ciampa, but over an hour of that. Again, if this was Rock Austin, if this was Cena Rock, if this was Austin McMahon, and you have an hour's worth of montage that you just want to sell for WrestleMania, I'm fine with that. Totally fine with that. What this felt like tonight is we got to eat up an hour. We don't want anybody fucking wrestling, so let's just fucking drag this shit on for an hour. Seriously, that went on so long, I'm like, I'm not interested in that feud anymore. You know, you had Gargano act like a psycho last week with Mauro Ranallo, and today they got opera music, and I'm being a little dramatic here. They got music, and he's sitting, and he's patient, and blah, 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 and when I was a kid, and smiling, and blah, blah. I'm telling you, they bombed this week. So I think AEW, because of the curiosity factor, because it was an empty arena, because they were teasing the Exalted One, and because it was a really entertaining show, I think AEW this week, I think they do a fucking kick-ass rating. I think they have, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to say they had 955,000 viewers. I think AEW, I'd be shocked if they go over 600,000. I think AEW 955, NXT, I'll be generous. I'll say 628. I hope fans send WWE a message this week like, this is what you're going to try to pull. And I'm not even talking WrestleMania because this show is everything but Raw and SmackDown. I'll talk about that Friday. I have a lot to say about that as well. And a few other things. So if you're around Friday night, 10:15 p.m. Eastern, right after SmackDown, I will be up here giving you the Don Tony Show. Have your questions ready. We're going to do Ask Me Anything. And, you know, any money that's generated in the Super Chat on Friday, that will be used and donated. I think maybe what we'll do is whatever we generate Friday, maybe we'll give that away in the form of more shirts next week. We'll use that to buy shirts. And speaking of charity, next Friday is my birthday, March 27th. I have decided to spend my birthday with all of you. So next week, 10:15 p.m. Friday, right after SmackDown, you're going to get, for non-patrons, for everybody, breakfast soup. It's going to be yours truly and Mish. We're both going to be on video. We're going to have our coffee ready because we're going to go as long as we want. We want to raise some money for charity. We're going to split that right down the middle. And one of the proceeds for sure is going to be the COVID-19 response because they are, you know, very important as far as helping people who absolutely need the help right now. And, you know, somebody gave me this wonderful idea today. Maybe we'll do it. I'm not sure yet. That next Friday, Mish and I will go until there's no more donations. What do I mean by that? Somebody gave me an idea today that next Friday, that every time donations come in, we continue for like another 5-10 minutes or whatever. And then we're not saying anything crazy, like $5 or whatever it is. But once we hit like a 5 or a 10 minute stretch when nothing comes in, that's when we stop. So it's almost like a telethon. Like we're going to just keep talking wrestling, talking about whatever. You can ask us anything. Nothing is out of bounds. We're going to have this kick ass. And one thing you know about me, I am always transparent with everything. So whatever comes in, you could see it. And whatever comes out, you will see that as well. So we're going to do that next Friday. You know, people are asking me realistically, how long do I think we'll end up going? My guess will probably be like 3 hours. You know, but hey, if we get enough people tuning in and you keep contributing, we'll keep going. So even, and we're probably going to talk about things outside of wrestling. We got a ton of stuff that we could have fun with. We had an awesome show on Breakfast Soup last week on Patreon. If you want to go check it out, patreon.com/DonTony. Mish and I did over 3 hours last week on Patreon. So you could sign up there. Hundreds of episodes, Patreon exclusive. And it's pretty much it. By the way, shout out to Mish. Mish is live right now in the chat. So before I go, did we have any issues today? Audio? Do we have any issues with video? Because believe me when I tell you, everyone, I've been working my ass off to try to iron out any little glitches. I really felt bad last week that we had a little technical issue. I did figure out that it was a cable as part of it. And I removed the cable today. I have no audio. I can't hear nothing right now other than, you know, in the room. I think that was the issue. So tonight we had a perfect show with no technical issues at all. So, you know, the Friday I'll get some cables here and I will change things around and we should be good to go in the future. It was something else I needed to say. I can't remember what it was right now. We could save it for Friday. But listen, everybody, please stay safe. Take what's going on too seriously. You know, there's some people out there that are very paranoid about germs even before this virus hit. You think of Felix Unger, for older people out there know that reference. You know, take it very seriously right now. You go to a supermarket, you know, just be very careful of your surroundings. If you walk past people, maybe you want to just like hold your breath as you walk by. I know it sounds a little ridiculous, but I actually found myself doing that today. Don't get in anybody's face. You know, if you want to wear gloves, definitely sanitizers. You know, I look, once I'm in my house, I could take it a little bit easy, but I got stuff everywhere, even in my office. You know, I work every day. I have customers, and unfortunately, insurance companies are not giving anybody any breaks. They don't pay their bill by a certain date. Their car insurance is canceled. Their house insurance is canceled. Their business insurance is canceled. There's a lot of people with rough things going on right now. So I've been really inundated with claims there. Also, my father's a grocery store. For the last 2 days, I've been helping my brother deliver some groceries in the neighborhood. Not for charity. I mean, people pay for the groceries, but he doesn't have enough time to deliver all this. So I've been helping him out there. I'm actually doing some taxes for a few of my elderly customers who can't go to like their regular tax person. So, you know, I'm trying to help people wherever I can. Give a little bit back in wrestling as well. You know, I brought this up Monday, and I'll say it again here now. Please, everyone, you don't need to tweet good deeds that you do or receive. You don't base other people's generosity based on how many tweet, because there's a lot of people that tweet that they are saving cancer right now, and they ain't doing shit. It sounds good, it appears good, but they ain't doing nothing. So don't base anybody out there doing or not doing something simply because they tweet or don't tweet about it. I saw a lot of good people the last couple of days really stepping up that I could probably spend an hour telling stories about good things that I saw. And, you know, but people are stepping up. And, you know, when you see these people online that are telling you, oh, support this person, they're out of work, support this one, you know, worry about yourself first. Worry about your family first. Then if you could help someone else, by all means do so. But please take the virus seriously. You know, when I see these kids in Florida and Louisiana partying it up, I'm not going to lie. When I was 20 years old, I probably would have done the same thing. 20 years old, you feel like you're invincible. And by the way, for all those news that's floating around that some young people in Italy are now getting hit with this, and you got all these people, oh, I thought only old people got this. Remember something that nobody is talking about, but you will start hearing it like crazy in the next couple of days, and that is vaping. You hear, even before this virus broke out, of a lot of young people getting lung cancer very early because of excessive vaping. You've seen states ban vaping to people under a certain age. Do not be surprised if you start hearing young people in the United States getting very sick from this, and you'll find out most of the times it's because they vaped like mofos. So, you know, just be careful out there. You know, take precautions. And let me give you two little tips before I go, because I actually was successful in both. Number one, and they both have to do with Amazon. Number one, Amazon has that fresh delivery where you could get groceries delivered to your door. And they do have Lysol and, you know, Wet Ones or whatever the shit is. They do have it, but it's usually just Amazon Fresh right now. Now, for 2 days, I've been trying to reserve a time and a date from Amazon Fresh, and everything was sold out. Few of you yesterday said to me, wait till midnight. In fact, right now, it's 11:45 p.m., so some people listening live, you could do this. Right about now, if you go on Amazon and you go to the Fresh area, if you've been trying to order groceries and been unsuccessful, right about now or within the next 15 minutes, keep reloading Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I know Saturday or Sunday will pop up. You'll be able to grab the date. It happens right around midnight, and it'll only last for about 5 or 10 minutes, but you'll be able, I ordered groceries being delivered to me Friday. So that's number one. Number two, if you're looking for hand sanitizer, I have like 7 things of hand sanitizer on its way to me. They ain't all for me, and they ain't going on eBay either. One is for me, one is for my mom, one is for my girl, one is for my office, one is for my brother, and the other one is an extra. But the thing is, everything's been sold out. Mike, Your Best Bargains gave me a link on eBay that somebody sold a bottle of hand sanitizer 2 days ago for $178. You know why he was able to do that? And I know what some of you are going to say right away. Oh, eBay pulled the auction. Why didn't they pull the auction? Because his starting bid was $10. Other people out there fought for it. So if something that's only worth $20, if people want it that bad, they want to give you $200 for it. As long as the seller doesn't ask for $200, that guy got his money. You could get that very same sanitizer on Amazon for $10. And Mike was able to do it. I think Mike might even be live right now. He'll vouch for it. All you do is email alerts. When something is not available on Amazon, there is a button where you click and it says, email me when it's available. Now, what I would do is keep your email screen open on your computer. And when things pop up that they're now for sale on Amazon, you got to click the link within a minute or so, because they sell out as quickly as that. And if you do click on it and it says it's not available, reload it a bunch of times, because what some people do is they end up putting it in their cart and then they end up changing their mind and then it becomes available. So trust me, that's how I got toilet paper, paper towels, hand sanitizer. I have Wet Ones coming, even alcohol wipes, because I do my keto and I do my MIC injections. I needed alcohol wipes. I'm running low. I bought a box of 100. I wasn't going to pay $60 on eBay. I went on Amazon, and luckily I was able to find it yesterday for $6. So hopefully by next week, these things will start becoming available. But those two tips, believe me when I tell you, it will work. So anyway, please, everybody, before you leave, hit the like button. Helps me, helps get a little extra exposure so other people could find this clip as well, this show. And by all means, post your comments on YouTube. Let me know what you thought about Dynamite. If you disagree with me about NXT, please speak up. You know, tell me what you liked, you disliked. Tell me what you thought about Brody Lee, Matt Hardy. Because I tell you, man, I wanted to say this earlier. I think it's probably the perfect thing I could say in closing right now. You have WrestleMania coming up in less than 2 weeks. You got to see SmackDown, Raw, NXT, and AEW in NT arenas. Which promotion gives you the biggest feel like WrestleMania is around the corner? Sorry, but not for nothing, but AEW, basically, it feels like they looked at WWE and said, okay, you got WrestleMania? No problem. We're going to bring out Brody Lee and Matt Hardy anyway. And I thought they killed it. Tonight's episode was a hell of a lot of fun. And they really maximized the use of the empty arena. Again, there were times tonight that I completely forgot they were in empty arena. So props to AEW. So everyone, be well. I'll catch you Friday for the Don Tony Show right here on YouTube. Please send your feedback. As always, follow me on Twitter at Don Tony D. And definitely spread the word. Let everybody that you know. Yours truly is now on YouTube and on video. So, all right, everybody. Good night. Take care. Catch you all again soon. Ciao.
Son, oh my.
It was fun to channel surf. It was kind of hard to do a little pocket pool after you're hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus.
Son, oh my.
And his whole idea of overanalyzing, oh, he's an alcoholic and he misplaced the belt. And how could you have someone champion like that? The fuck out of here.
Wednesday night.
Don, oh my. You can have fun. You really are. Ah!